ourselves. Number three, what is the main point? In order to be faithful unto death, the knowledge of Jesus, underline that word knowledge. It means the comprehension acquired by study and experience and intimacy with Jesus Christ. I'll repeat that. Knowledge. Comprehension acquired. Where am I going to get this comprehension acquired? From the Word of God. Comprehension acquired by study and experience and intimacy with Jesus Christ. If I study the Word and I learn that absolute truth and absolute reality that it is, will that not help me in my experiences? Yes. Will it help me grow in my intimacy? Yes. In order to be faithful unto death, the knowledge of Jesus must be bigger to us than the reality of death itself. Jesus is the first and the last, and we'll get into that next Sunday. The conqueror over death, the giver of the crown of life, to those who are faithful unto death. Underline the word faithful. Do you know what that means? To those who are determined to live by divine persuasion until the day that they die. Jesus must be bigger to us than death itself. This letter to the church in Smyrna is all about Jesus. Wow. Please pay close attention. It may seem like the letter is about the suffering and persecution that the church in Smyrna is about to undergo. How many Christians you know that they love to talk about their adversity, their trials, and their suffering? And now I know what to say to them. You don't get it, do you? It's not about your trials. It's not about your suffering. It's not about your adversity. It's how Jesus responded and what He did in your life during that time. Makes sense? Oh, Terry, I've been down for years. I've had this, I've had that. Well, get up! Tell me what Jesus did when you were down and out. When you were in that self-pity party, tell me what Jesus was doing then. Or would you even allow Him to do anything? Or did you even think He could do anything? I'm sorry. But all of that you'd love to talk about to get self-pity, you missed the point. Let's read it. It may seem like the letter is about the suffering and persecution that the church in Smyrna is about to undergo, but from what Jesus says about it, that it becomes clear that the suffering and the persecution are just a stage built for the enactment of the drama that displays the worth of Christ. Your adversity was a stage for Christ. Your trials, your time of testing was simply a what? A stage for Christ. The worth of Christ, oh, how it radiated and how it glowed and how it took care of everything. It wasn't about you, little man, little woman. It was all about the working of God in your life. And you know, and then when somebody says, how have you been? And here's how you're going to say, let me tell you what Jesus did when I was going through the cancer. When I was going through this adversity and difficulty in my life, let me tell you how Jesus just glowed like the sun and all that He provided and the divine sustenance. Let me tell you about Jesus and His worth and what He allowed me to go through. That I know now that I didn't know before. Verse 8. Jesus is bigger than death. Do you hate death? Do you fear death? Verse 9. Jesus knows His people in their suffering. Underline that word, I in. What a gigantic, monumentous word. I in. In. What's a health, wealth, and prosperity prayer? Lord, get me out of this. And Jesus says, I'm going to walk you through it. Would you rather Jesus get you out of it, or would you rather walk with Him through? In Revelation, believers suffer tribulation from unbelievers and the evil one, but get this, but unbelievers suffer the wrath of God. Which one do you want? Note also that believers are always protected or sealed from divine judgment. Revelation, turn to that. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Verses 2 and 3. Revelation 7, 2 and 3. Then I saw another angel coming up from the rising of the sun, holding the seal of the living God. And with a loud voice he called out to the four angels to whom it was granted to have authority and power to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth nor the sea nor the trees until we seal or mark the bondservants of our God on their foreheads. And the 144,000 are not Jehovah's Witnesses. There are 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, 144,000 flaming Jewish evangelists protected by God. Now, let's turn back to Ephesians. We'll get in the New Testament here. Talk to you. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Many of you know this. Ephesians 1, 13. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the word of God, the good news of your salvation, and as a result believed in Him, salvation is a message to hear. It is a person to believe in and a life to be lived. Amen. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, and as a result believed in Him, Jesus Christ, were stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. The one promised by Christ as owned and protected by God. The Spirit is the guarantee, the first installment, the pledge, a foretaste of our inheritance until the redemption of God's own purchased possession, His believers, to the praise of His glory. What do you get out of here? Believe in Jesus Christ, you're saved. Then you're sealed. Then you're safe. Amen. For all eternity. Back to the prayer now. Verse 10, Jesus calls His people to be faithful unto death. Underline the word faithful. It means He calls His people to face the fights and challenges of life. Face your fight is of life. You know what? You better face them, because a lot of these challenges came by the way of Jesus. Some may come by the way of Satan that Jesus allows and orchestrates to work in your life as a child of God. Does God know the devil's plans? So don't freak out. Is God in complete control of every situation? Thank you so much. Verse 11, Jesus promises His people life. Verse 8, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, there's the word angel. We know it is the word messenger. It also refers to a human pastor. Now please listen closely. Here Jesus once again speaks a specific message to a pastor whose responsibility is to deliver the message to the congregation Christ had placed under His care. Stop. I can still hear. Once again, if someone comes in here and says, I want to hear the feel-good messages, I don't want you to challenge me. Listen to what Jesus is going to say. Jesus says here in Scripture, I cannot fulfill that request. says, I'll give what you need. Don't come in here telling Jesus what you want to hear. You just read what I read. Did not Jesus say, I will not fulfill that request? So the health, wealth, and prosperity gain, it ain't biblical. Jesus said. Page 2. In every local assembly of Christians, there is a divine order of operation. My goodness, how many Baptist churches would we have if this was put in order a long time ago? In every local assembly of Christians, there is a divine order of operation. Before the head, Jesus Christ of the church, addresses a local church with a correction, a rebuke, or an exhortation, he first addresses its pastor. Did we not just read that? To the angel of the church in Smyrna. He first addresses its pastor. His, Jesus Christ's messenger to that particular congregation. Jesus says, when Terry leaves, I have another preacher, pastor, to be put in his place, a very particular one, and it's up to you to pray and receive the person that I have next in line. I laughed when I heard my mother tell me at a church she was going to several years ago now. They don't go at all at this point. She said, well, we're about to find a pastor that had a stack of resumes about like this, and the pulpit committee said, well, we've whittled it down to about 3 that we like. I said, excuse me? 3 that you like? 3 that you think will fit the needs of the church? He lasted just a very short time. Church was in turmoil. Did you hear what the Bible said? Jesus says, I've already picked your next pastor. Back to the printout. Here's Jesus Christ's messenger, that particular congregation, regarding the issue at hand. This point is very important, for it reveals that Christ respects and honors those whom he has, listen to this, set in authority. And I never have taken that word authority as dictatorship. I'm not here to boss you. I'm here to lead you. And that he doesn't bypass the divine order he has established. Even if a God-appointed messenger refuses to hear, Jesus will nonetheless speak to him first by his Spirit. Then the pastor has the opportunity to accept, ignore, or reject what the Holy Spirit is saying. Question number 1. What is the pastor's God-given responsibility? To hear and internalize Christ's message, and then to be the first to accept and respond to his correction, rebuke, or commendation. Afterward, the pastor is responsible for accurately delivering that message. How? In the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. That's one reason it's there. Be not what? There you go. For in his excess, but be filled, influenced, motivated, divinely persuaded by the Holy Spirit. Because why? Because you're about to speak a divine message. And this is still Christ's expectation for Christian leaders today. Church, ecclesia. This refers to a body of individuals whom God had given the honor and privilege of being called forth and separated unto him to assemble together for the purpose of furthering his kingdom. In this case, Christ had strong words of comfort for the believers in Smyrna who were enduring an unrelenting onslaught of intense persecution because of their faith in Jesus. And Jesus says what? Stand firm. Be bold. I'm not moving you. Can't you just see the wimps in the congregation? Jesus, we need to relocate. He said, no, we're not going to relocate. Did you not read my word, your salt and light? Now you need to be a little pepper. Get in there and change the environment. How salty do you need to get for the what? For the will of God to be done. If you're really a child of God and you believe the Word of God and you believe in Jesus Christ establishes His local assemblies. Not to sit there and be afraid or say we need to be on the run. He puts you there to make a change. You know what's funny with Trump? He reminds me of walking tall. He came in with a big stick. Did he clean house, didn't he? The bars and all of that. I mean, got everything settled down. And then the people decided, we don't need you anymore. You'll never hear that spoken of the church down here. The world needs the work of God in it. Yes. And the Word of God read and spoken and put out for people. We're here. So don't think about running. Just say, Lord, help me to plant my feet just a little deeper in the ground. Because I may bend a little, but we ain't going to break. Remember this. The Smyrnian church, although fiercely persecuted, under constant assault, and smaller than many of the other early churches, was nevertheless a very strong congregation that remained steadfast despite horrendous and unrelenting persecution. Saved, sealed, safe. You got the mark of God all over you. Go for it. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for these words of encouragement, words of warning, words of correction, rebuke, exhortation we find in Your Word. But here to take this small congregation and say, there's some tough things coming, and I'm allowing it to come. We're going to make it, He says. There will be times you'll wonder if we are. But You and I are going to get extremely close. And Your faith will grow and grow during this time of testing. And some of you, I will probably allow you to die for the faith. I'll be glad to have you in my presence. I look forward to it, He says. For I have waited a long time for it. I died for it. I guard it with my life. Be strong, my church. Be strong. For I'm coming for you one day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stay.